702.
702 for the curious
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Nikki Bush joining us live on the line now, our resident human potential and parenting expert. We may well be into the Christmas rush now, because if anybody's like me, I leave my Christmas shopping to the last 2 days before the 24th, Nikki. And some people might be wondering what exactly to get their kids this Christmas in terms of games.
Hi there. Actually, today we finished actually talking about what we were going to get by our kids for Christmas. And today I did think we were talking about how to travel with kids. So I would really love to pick that up, because we've given everybody so many ideas over the last 5 weeks of what to buy their kids. And if they want the full list, they can go to toytalk.co.za for my top 50 list of what you should be buying your kids for Christmas. And it doesn't matter how old or how young your children are, they still love to play and have fun. And you mentioned that in the beginning of the interview, how to play and have fun with your kids. So I think that it's really important that whether you're having a staycation at home, or whether you're going on a vacation, or whether you're going to be traveling with your kids in the car or in a plane, that parents realize that they are still the most important toy in the toy box themselves. They're the most brightest crayon in the box. And that getting involved with your kids, getting involved in the play experience, is actually so important. You know, we can give our children gifts, we can give them toys, we can give them games, but if we don't get involved in the play process, it means nothing to them. So that emotional connection through play is really vital, and the same goes for when you're actually traveling with children in the car. So I've got some 10 commandments for traveling with kids, if you want to share that with our listeners.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you're heading out on a long journey, it's not only important making sure that your car is going to make it there safely and not necessarily on time, but just all in one piece. But it gets even more complicated when you're traveling with kids, especially if they're quite young.
It does. So, you know, one of the things, and I've been helping parents on the run effectively for many, many years now, and some of the rules that, or 10 commandments for traveling with kids, include, number one, you need to engage with your children, because children, weirdly enough, are not born to be restrained in car seats. They're born to move. That's their intuitive, instinctive nature. So they have to get used to being restrained. It's one of those things they have to learn to self-manage, and it takes a bit of time. And they need to be distracted from their discomfort, because you know how little ones want to get out of those restraints all the time. So to distract children, you are going to have to be part of the process. And you know, you can give them permanent access to your cell phone or an iPad. That will definitely keep them still. But if you don't want them glued to a screen, you have to be prepared to get involved in distracting them from their discomfort. And sometimes that means, especially if you have two adults in the car, one adult should get in the back seat between the children every now and again for like 20 minutes at a time, especially if you have warring siblings. Because if you get between them, you distract them from each other and you can engage them in a play experience. And also understanding that kids actually often misbehave to get your attention, especially if there are two of them, that they play up in order to get your attention one over the other. So use the art of distraction by having fun together, and always try and travel when it might be your children's sleep time. So if you've got children, you know, they should sleep at night. We used to leave for long-distance trips at about 2:30 in the morning so that we'd get at least 3 or 4 or 5 hours of sleep time. And also maximize family connection time in the car. It's a little bit like having your kids in the bath. They're contained. They can't go anywhere. So sing together, play word games, include some travel-friendly games and toys into the mix, and I'll give you some ideas now as to what you can pack in the Fun on the Run bag or the Fun on the Run suitcase of toys for the car. And also keep some interesting snacks and drinks on hand, because you use those in between play times. And of course, you've got to take some regular breaks where your kids can run around, jump around, and get rid of some of that excess energy. So we're actually teaching our kids how to cope with being trapped in their car seats and seatbelts, because it's something they're going to have to deal with for their whole lives. It's kind of a life skill. And we need to try and get rid of the nightmare that can happen if we don't distract them from that that feeling of discomfort.
Well, talking getting into that conversation about games, never mind things you can buy, I suppose an old mainstay, an old favorite, especially I remember growing up as a kid, I Spy. I mean, is I Spy still something that that you'd recommend?
You know what it is, but now I just want to give parents with younger children some hints and tips here, because a younger child, say at the age of 3 or 4, can't play I Spy with My Little Eye, something beginning with T. You're thinking of a tree that you see.
Or a tow truck,
exactly. So what you do with younger children is you actually tell them, I Spy with My Little Eye, something beginning with T for tow truck. And they need to learn the phonetics, not A, B, C, D. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So you actually say, I Spy with My Little Eye, something beginning with T for truck. And you're telling them what to look for, because they're not at the stage yet where they can guess what T stands for. There's loads of word games that you can play with children. So if they are into, say they're in grade R, grade 1, grade 2, you can say, I want to rhyme in double quick time, and the word to rhyme is stop. Now you've got to come up with words that rhyme with stop. Or, pick any word you like. And you can play general knowledge games like, you give them things like cucumber, carrot, and apple. You give them those three words, and you say, which one is the odd one out? Now, this is quite a good one, so maybe you can answer that. So looking for clues, which one is the odd one out between carrot, cucumber, and apple?
Auntie Nikki, I think that the odd one out there is apple.
Why? Because this is about problem-solving, thinking, and reasoning.
Because a carrot and a cucumber, last time I checked, is a veggie.
Well, actually, if you've got a very bright child in the car, they're going to say, you know, Dad, a cucumber has seeds, therefore it's a fruit.
Aha.
Aha!
Well, I was today years old when I knew that, when I found out that the apple is not the odd one out there. But
there's about 5 or 6 different answers to this question. So how about the color?
Aha. It's another one.
So you might say apple and cucumber are green.
Yeah, it depends which apple that you have, though, right?
Exactly. So you might have another child in the car who says, but my apple's red. Uh-huh. How about the beginning letter?
Well, there's another one as well. Apple's the odd one out because it begins with a.
Ah, yes. And how about shape?
Mm-hmm. Another one. Well, yes, of course.
So apple, because it's round, yeah? Because the other ones are kind of cylindrical. But can you see how this is about problem solving, reasoning, and thinking skills? So you don't just want them to answer. You want them to tell you why. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to go through school, they're going to get really smart and clever, but if you can't actually present your ideas in words, how do you sell a concept in the boardroom?
Very, very true.
Nikki, to your clients, if you're an entrepreneur.
Nikki, I'm wondering if you have time to go on a road trip with me, because I certainly would like to have you in the car, kids or not. What happens, though, when your kids get a little bit older, though? Yeah, I'm talking about moody teenagers on a very, very long-distance journey. Is that maybe the opportune time to start introducing stuff like audiobooks? I'm an audiobook addict, really, and it doesn't even need to take long distance journeys for me to crack it out. And I'm currently listening to the biography of Muhammad Ali. Do you think that's something that you might want to look at when your kids are a little bit older, from 12 and onwards?
100%. So I think audiobooks are fantastic. You know, you can always give them the tablet and they can watch a movie, they can play games, etc. But I want to mention a couple of other things. You know, if you've got a box of Trivial Pursuit somewhere, or 30 seconds in your cupboard, if you're going to be traveling with kids, whip out the cards from the 30 seconds box. Whip out the cards from the Trivial Pursuit game. And just take the cards in the car, because you can play general knowledge on the run. You can play describing games while you're driving. And then think of things like top trumps. Do you remember top trumps cards? So you've got those cards where you compare the speed of your vehicle or the distance your aeroplane can fly.
Ah, yes, of course.
Or you've got creatures from the deep. Or these days you can get, like at the moment we've had the Rugby World Cup, you can get Springbok trump cards where you can compare all your rugby players, their weight, their height, the speed they can run, you know, all those sorts of things, how many tries they've scored. And those sort of cards, pick them according to your child's interest. So if your child's interested in dinosaurs, you pick dinosaur cards. If your child's interested in Manchester United, you know, in soccer, you can pick the soccer cards. And those sort of things keep your child going. Because what you're trying to do with long-distance traveling is get another 15 or 20 minutes out of your child before they say, well, when are we going to get there? So those sort of things are really, really important. So then there are your brain games of logic with lots of challenges. You can buy lots of those games where there are 60 different challenges, and make sure you take one or two of those with you. If you've got a younger child with you, then things like stickers and sticker books, which are not expensive. Every time you go on a long distance trip, go and buy a new sticker book and a new set of stickers. Something to draw with that is age appropriate. Those magnetic magic sketches, you can get them in Toys R Us. You can get different kinds of them. I actually recommended in a show with Rafael Wempakanyani earlier in November, the Doodle Sketcher, which is available at Baby City stores. And that was amazing because that really went from about the age of 3 all the way through to about the age of 8. Coloring in books, activity books like Find the Word, crossword puzzles, dot-to-dot, things like that. I know these sound a little bit old-fashioned, but when you're in a car, just to get another 10 minutes or 15 minutes out of a child is fantastic. And then fascination. Never underestimate the power of fascination. And here I'm going to tell you something really simple that will even keep teenagers busy. Take a whole lot of pipe cleaners in the car. Because they can
pipe cleaners?
Pipe cleaners. They can bend them, twist them, make things out of them. And then even an old ball of wool. I was clearing out a chest of drawers the other day. I found a ball of wool. And I remembered that there was a making fun out of nothing activity that I posted years ago that got a lot of traction. And it's finger knitting with a ball of wool. And if our listeners go onto nikkibush.com, onto free stuff, they can go and find all my experiments, craft activities, and cooking activities. And this is one of the craft activities, is how to do finger knitting with a ball of wool. You've got two children in the back seat of a car, see who can make the biggest chain through their finger knitting with a ball of wool. And it's amazing eye-hand coordination, problem solving. And kids actually are quite into retro these days. Things that maybe we considered as normal as kids, like knitting and crochet and weaving, have actually become big business in the toy industry because there is retro. There's a lot of value in retro today because children actually don't know this stuff. So it's actually quite magical and new. It's quite weird that against this very high-tech backdrop that we live in, that the old-fashioned stuff is gaining traction today.
And then so, a lot of the suggestions that you're putting out there presuppose that there'll be two parents in the car. Well, what are the easy, quick cheat sheets for single parents that are taking, you know, their kids on a road trip? I know for instance, of a dad that's just going through a messy divorce and he gets the kids over New Year's and he's traveling down alone with three young children.
Oh, well, I think that would be a nightmare, I have to say. That would be definitely time for the audiobook. That would be time for word games. And definitely try and travel at night when your kids are sleeping. I think that would be your first prize. But that is tricky. Three children, one parent, that is a serious challenge. So I think you're going to have to also remember things like traditions are important. To keep your children going, they've got to know that you're going to be stopping at the Wimpy in 1 hour. You need to be doing like maths with your kids. How many kilometers until the next Wimpy stop? And get your children to observe what's going on outside and how many kilometers we've done. And so you're doing the maths. while you're going along and keeping your kids engaged. Oh, another 10 kilometers down and another 10 kilometers down. You know, a lot of conversation in the car will get you through. If you keep distracting your children, what can you see outside? How many kilometers to go? What does that sign say? What are the numbers on that number plate in front of us? If you've got an older child in the car, adding up the letters on those number plates, playing 20 questions, the children have to ask 20 questions, you've got something in your head, and it might be that, you know, it's a boat, and your kids have got 20 yes or no questions to ask you. So in a way, you've got to position yourself, whether you're single, whether there are two of you, it doesn't matter. You've got to position yourself as a source of magic, wonder, and surprise for your children. And that kind of positions you as a hero in your child's life story. So you do need to go prepared. You do need to go prepared with what I call that fun on the run bag, fun on the run box, which has got something to read, something to draw on, some kind of fascination toy, as well as some word games in your head that you're going to play with your kids, as well as those snacks and those drinks. Remember that children get cranky when they are tired, when they are hungry, and when they are bored and in need of your attention. Those are the three big reasons why children get cranky.
I'm glad that you brought up being hungry, because there's also, I won't mention names, but I know of a parent, their kids are much older now. They won't be taking these journeys now, but they swore by the fact that the key to taking kids on a long distance journey was that one thing about, you know, leaving at 2:30 in the morning so that they're fast asleep. You get a couple of kid-free hours on the road, so to speak. But then also, yeah, when they're awake, feed them stuff like slop chips, because that'll put them to sleep.
Well, you know, going back to, you know, thinking of slop chips and thinking of traditions, well, I don't know about slop chips putting your children to sleep, because they're actually going to convert into high sugar. So I'm not sure about that, but maybe it does work. But traditions are important. You know, I have a really fun story to tell about this. When my youngest was 3, he had never been in an aeroplane. And we always do a 12, 13-hour journey every kind of Christmas to the same place. And I think Tallulah had a special that year. And we decided as parents that we needed to get this child in an aeroplane to give him an experience. So I collected him from preschool the one day. And I said, you know, Matthew, I've got such a big surprise for you. You and Mummy are going to fly in an aeroplane on holiday. And we usually go down to Knysna. So we would have to fly to George. And, you know, the 3-year-old looked at me and he said, but will the pilot stop at Wimpy? Because we always used to stop in Colesberg for lunch on the way, because we would leave early in the morning while they were still asleep, and we would stop in Colesberg for lunch. And the family tradition that my husband had was that the first drink on holiday for him was a cream soda. So, you know, there was this Wimpy burger and a cream soda. That was the tradition. And this 3-year-old, all he could remember was that we used to stop for the Wimpy burger and the cream soda. And when I told him that the pilot was not going to stop at Wimpy, you know, he looked at me with a straight face and he said, well, then I'm not coming.
Ay, ay, ay.
It was quite an interesting lesson in how important traditions are, and that you can create traditions along journeys that children look forward to. And that tradition of stopping for that burger at that place with that drink at that time gets them through that next hour, because we're going to be stopping soon for that magical family moment of connection. So never, ever forget those things. And maybe you've got particular songs that you play on long journeys. I mean, I think back to my childhood going on long journeys. My mother was a Cliff Richard fan. And there was that song, We're All Going on a Summer Holiday. And we always used to sing that in the car. And even with my nieces and nephews who are in primary school now, my family has always been into the musicals. So, you know, the Broadway musicals. And part of our family tradition is that we all know the words of the Broadway musicals. So when we're on a long journey, we sing Broadway musicals. And that's part of the tradition of being in a car together is that we can all sing those songs together. Beautiful. So what is it that you do together that creates a sense of togetherness and belonging to your family tribe? Because those are very important things in not only getting your kids through a long journey, but ensuring that your kids feel part of your family unit.
Last but not least, before we let you go there, Nikki Bush, back to basics. What's the maximum amount of time you should be spending in a car at a time on a long distance journey with your kids? Rule of thumb, you know, the same sort of tips that the AA will give you, no longer than 2 hours before you stop,
yeah,
rest, stretch legs?
Two to three hours. 2 to 3 hours is the max. Depends on the age of your children, depends on the length of the journey, depends on what time of the day it is, of course. But I would say you're going to need a leg stretch and a wee stop at least every 2 to 3 hours if you want to keep family sanity. We actually travel with dogs now. Our kids are a lot older, but we travel with dogs. And the same rule applies. You've got to stop every now and again and let them stretch their legs, have a drink. And, it does help, you know, to have that stretch, because otherwise they get a little bit antsy. But more than anything, make sure you create family memories out of these long distance trips, because these are the things that your kids go back to again and again. Remember when. Remember when we ran out of petrol? Remember when the air conditioner packed up and we had all the windows open and we all nearly blew out the windows? You know, if you want your kids to have those stories to tell. Remember when we used to stop at XYZ petrol station for that lovely burger or whatever. I know that there are those pup stalls, you know, what's in English? What's a pup stall? You get them
road stops.
Right, but not those road stops. It's where they have all the homemade stuff, you know.
Oh, Taste Neverheid.
Yeah, Taste Neverheid type. Because you get those in those little dorpies, you know, and you get the best fudge and the best shortbread and the Dad might find his best coffee spot, you know. And there's that whole debate: who makes the best cup of coffee? You know, is it Wimpy? Is it Woolies? Who makes the best cup of coffee? Anyway, but there's so much fun to be had. This year, I'm actually flying down to my holiday destination. My children are driving down with my parents.
Taking the easy way out,
I'm a little bit jealous because I'm not going to be part of the family traditions in the car.
Well, Nikki, it's been an illuminating conversation. Thanks for all those helpful tips on long-distance journeys. Enjoy your flight and enjoy your holiday, and we'll speak to you in 2020.
Thank you so much, and you too.
Nikki Bush joining us there, talking to us about how to travel with kids on a long distance journey. Find out more on nikkibush.com.